Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
From time to time, we like to recommend a new podcast you may like. As a listener of X-Ray Vision. From the award-winning television critics at Vanity Fair, Still Watching gives audience members a deep dive into the shady business of dealings of the Roy siblings while predicting who will be the one to take over the reins of Waystar Royko. Join Richard Lawson, chief critic at Vanity Fair, and Chris Murphy, a staff writer at Vanity Fair, as they recap the final and most anticipated season of HBO's Succession on Still Watching. Tune in every Monday as Richard and Chris discuss Sunday night's new episodes. Make sure you're following Still Watching, available now wherever you get your podcasts. Margo Moves is not scared of any competitor, and we will happily support them because Margo Moves is the only one that makes the market move. Warning, this podcast contains spoilers for Season 4, Episode 5 and 6 of Succession on Max. Hello, my name is Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Rosie Knight.
And welcome, after a week off, back.
It's good to be back.
The Crooked Media podcast where we dive deep to your favorite shows, movies, comics, and pop culture.
In this episode, it's a supersized edition of Market Moves.
It's moving!
Get your money ready because things are moving. They're moving up. They're moving down.
Count it out.
Moving sideways.
Get those hundos laid out in a beautiful fan and get ready to invest, because the stock is only going up.
Succession episode 5 and 6 from season 4. We're going on holiday and then we're going to live forever. It's going to be great, guys. And in Nerd Out, David pitches us on Red Dead Redemption 2. As the next video game to TV adaptation, I would love to see it.
Ooh. Coming up, Market Moves. All you Roys, pop your value like this. Ken and Roman and Connor and Shiv. All you Roys, pop your value like this. Ken and Roman and Connor and Shiv. Just do it. Do it. Do it, do it, do it now. Bite it good. Bite my arm just like you should right now. Bite it good. Bite my arm just like you should. My mar, my cat, my move and my vest. My mar, my cat, my move and my vest. My mar, my cat, my move. That's right, it's Market Moves!
Market Moves! Market Moves!
We're covering episode 5 and 6 of Succession season 4, and we're going to Norway in episode 5. We open with the new co-CEO structure in place. Interim boy kings Ken and Roman begin making their marks at Waystar HQ. That means walking in, getting applause from everyone. The C-suite boyars get whipped into line, and they're getting ready for their journey to Norway to grease the birth canal of the Gojo deal. Lucas Mattsson requesting the presence of all the players, large and small, not just the Roy family, but all the kind of upper level executives that they might want to keep or might want to fire, as the case may be. And the timing, of course, isn't great. What with Logan recently dropping dead on an airplane. Rosie, remember that? That didn't happen.
And Ken and Roman have literally been in power for 24 hours, give or
take. Right.
It's bad timing. And this is an obvious power play from Mattsson, who is just doing the most this episode.
The grieving process is still ongoing with the Roy children, but Lucas Mattsson doesn't care about any of that. And Ken says, okay, well, let's just do it. Let's go over there and bleed the Swede on the plane over. Ken and Roman do the absolute least they can do to make Shiv feel like she's part of this as they had kind of agreed upon, soft agreed upon earlier, that they're all, everything's going to come across your table, Shiv. You're going to be involved in all. No, and they are really not even trying to make her feel like she's part of it.
This is a mistake that they will soon come to regret, I feel, as we look upon the fortunes
yes.
of the future Waystar Royco company. And it is just so hilarious and bleak how quickly they went back on their word. This was literally yesterday in the timeline that they promised. And we said, I'm just saying, we were right. We said, they're going to fuck her over. And guess what? They're doing it. They cut her out. She is irrelevant to them.
To the victor, the spoils. And, you know, there's a piece of paper with Ken's name on it. And,
was it crossed out?
Shiv, meanwhile, is concerned that there's all these stories in Forbes, and Business Insider, in Wall Street Journal about Logan, about what a shit show his late reign was. And she is like, what's going on with this? I thought we, is this coming from us? I thought we agreed not to slander dad as he is laid freshly in his grave. And Ken and Roman are like, you know, we're crunching all these numbers here and we got to get ready for this deal. What are you, let's talk to Hugo. Hugo, this is not coming from us, right? And Hugo's like, no, I don't know what you're, I've never heard of this. And so that's over with. And meanwhile, Shiv, Ken and Roman say, if you want us to fire Tom in the most humiliating possible way,
cut his head off
as
put
a
it on
favor
a spike.
To you, dear sister, draw and quarter him, you know, hang him not until dead, until he's merely unconscious. And then we go in and we cut open his abdomen and we pull his guts out in front of him. And we put it on a fire and we burn him from him. And then we cut him up into pieces and we put his head on the spike. We can do that. If that's what you want. And Shiv's like, oh, I don't know. Meanwhile, the old guard, Frank, Carl, Carolina, Hugo, and the other guy, are pinching their sides to see which one of them is the fattest hog at the slaughterhouse.
They know.
As rumors of a kill list circulate. Jerry tells everyone, settle down. Listen, I get it. We're going over there to meet the upper-level Gojo people, and they're all, like, ex-Olympians.
And they all look like supermodels.
Yeah, they're, like, in their mid-30s, and they're all, like, Fulbright scholars with PhDs. But they're all fucking soft because they had that socialist health care, and they never had to worry about, like, going to the dentist. Meanwhile, we came up through the mean meat grinder of the American system, and we're fucking tough, and they put mayo in their fries and we eat blood red steaks. Don't worry about it. They're soft. First prompt. Rosie, what is that guy's name?
Oh my God. Is his name like Harry? I don't know. He's just there.
Okay, well, you're going with Harry.
I think, what about Harry?
I know what it is, and I'm just going to say what it is, but I'm also going to say that I only know because I had to look it up. His name is Ray.
Okay, Ray. Ray. I was like halfway there.
And Ray, my most indelible memory of Ray is from the Boar on the Floor outing in, I believe, Romania.
Oh, like he's spooky. A holiday guy. He shows up for the holidays.
I think wherever it was, Tom said something like spooky Dracula something. And he was the guy during Boar on the Floor who was like really, really into it. He was like, yeah, we can get that sausage. Yeah. So the Gojo confab happens at like this really gorgeous resort of some kind, Norwegian
compound,
resort
some kind of like, is it Lucas's compound? I don't know. He seems to be very comfortable there.
This beautiful, there's like a gondola going up to the top of this peak. And then all the buildings are like this glass enclosed, like futuristic shit, like that the billionaire would from Ex Machina would live in kind of thing. Now, as they're heading up in the gondola, the old guard, Carl in particular, is like, okay, Ken, do you want to go over the money one more time? And of course, Carl has visions of Lesbos or some other Greek isle, like dancing in his head. And Ken is like, no, listen, I understand. 144s are absolutely can't go lower than this price. And we want to go higher than that. And we'd love 148, but we'd settle for like 145. And when they say 145, they mean billion.
$145 billion.
$1 billion. And Ken's like, I get it. So we'll get him above 144. Meanwhile, Connor is back stateside and he's dealing with the fact that Marcia wants to have Logan laying in his coffin in a kilt, which Connor thinks is weird, despite the fact that Logan is from Scotland, was a Scottish man, a proud Scottish man, and a supporter of either Hibs or Hearts. And I'm not, I forget. Do we know if Roman still owns that team?
Check up.
Is he still a co-owner of either Hibs or Hearts? Basically calls Ken saying, give me full authority to tell Marcia that we can't bury Pop in a kilt. And Ken is like, whatever. He hangs up on him.
And he also says very bleakly, he's like, send photos of your dad's embalmed body, Kendall.
The boys' initial meeting with Mattson begins with a really awkward, like, nod to the fact that Logan is freshly embalmed, like, not cold yet. And Mattson wants to have a dead dad dick measuring contest with Lucas, saying, at least you didn't find him in his BMW with the engine running, yada, yada, yada. And when this gets no reaction, because it's a very, very weird thing to say, like, off, like, as a hello, he then goes, what, no? No sympathy for Lucas? No awe for Lucas? Like,
he is a true... If you weren't already aware that Skarsgård is playing Lucas Mattson as an absolute sociopath, you will be aware by the end of this episode.
Oh, yeah. So they get down to brass coffin nails quite quickly. The boys, backed by the board, want more money for Waystar for various reasons. They think it's undervalued. They, you know, they want ATN out of the deal. They want the price up. Lucas, meanwhile, is saying, well, if you're taking something out, but the price is going up, how does that make sense? I'm getting less and I'm paying more. And then he says, what about this? Put ATN back in the bag and I'll buy it all for $187.50 50 cash stock deal. Now, for those counting, that is a lot more than $144.
That is the dollar price for each share. That's what I just remembered because I looked it up. So it's $144 a share or $187 a share. But it's still like a fuck ton more. But just
it's
so
still
we can,
a fuck ton of money.
Yeah. So we can
that is the expertise that market moves brings. Whoa! To the numbers and the context and the stocks and the bonds and the Ethereum and the crypto.
It is a lot more. 887 is more than 144.
It's
Did
quite
you know
a bit
that?
More. Second prompt, Rosie, what is your absolute basement amount of money to tell everyone to go fuck off and you would never be seen again? You'd just be living your life writing Godzilla comics for fun and doing whatever you want with your life. What is the absolute bare minimum amount of money that you would be like, I can quit everything and I will move to somewhere and I'll just do nothing?
I am an extremely thrifty person, so it's probably a lot lower than anything else, but we're talking Succession, so I'll go in those, I believe there's no such thing as a good billionaire, I'm not going there, but I could do that for 10 mil. I could be gone, no one would ever see me again, like, no question. I put a million in a high interest account because that's the kind of thing we do here at Market Moves. I'll buy a little house and you never see me again. I have no social media. I'm done.
I like it. The current, as of March 9th, 2023, Biden-Harris administration Defense Department budget is $842 billion.
Wow.
I would need about $1 trillion to really settle down because I got too many things on my mind. Too many ideas. I can't settle down for anything less than it. I would go as low as maybe $800 billion.
I like that. I go as low. You'll take what the general average military budget is. I think that's fair.
Right. I think that fair. Ken and Roman, now Ken and Roman should leap at this. 187? Yeah, we want it. That's
so much
immediately
higher.
Like, incredible. Now, of course, you do your due diligence. You see if you can prod him any higher. If he says 187 off rip, maybe he'd go a little higher. But this is immediately, it's a win. You can go back to the board and the board would be throwing flowers at you.
Forever.
That forever. But because Ken and Roman, in their hearts, in their dark, shriveled, little, tiny pea hearts, don't want to sell.
They
want to
tank
it.
The deal. I just
want
to say.
They don't want it.
I just want to say, I have believed ever since Kendall got the phone call from Mattson, where Mattson was like, if your dad pushes for more money, I'm not doing the deal. I believe Kendall has planned to tank this deal since then. And now he is planning to tank it even more. And hilariously, these two are such fuck-ups, they can't even tank the deal.
Well, in fairness to Ken, Mattson did say, hey, if you raise the price at all, I'm fucking out. And then they tried to raise the price, and Mattson clearly was not out.
It's true.
So, like, if it's a move, if this was, like, purely a move, which it's not because they want to take the deal, but if it was a move.
It would be a good move. A rare good Kendall move.
So the boys want to tank the deal. And Mattson, I think, understands on some kind of instinctive level, like a hog, you know, digging for a truffle, understands that he smells some sort of like emotional weakness. Even if he doesn't quite understand that they want to tank the deal, he understands that there's an emotional connection to ATN. That was their dad's baby. Their dad, Logan, fucking loved ATN. He made that big speech at ATN. He was going to fucking install himself as the cock of the walk back at ATN. He's going to rebuild his empire. He loved ATN. And the boys want it for that reason, because it was dad's favorite thing in the world. It's like his favorite watch. And so Mattson just wants it to fuck them. That's all. He just wants ATN to say, fuck you guys and fuck your dad. He's dead. Fuck you. So the boys now have to figure out how to not tell the board what's going on, because they would clearly put tremendous pressure on them to take the deal. For her part, Shiv is fine with losing ATN. It sucks. It is against kind of her politics, sort of. It's openly allied with a neo-fascist candidate, Jared Mencken, who is apparently like directing the editorial over there at ATN now. And it's time to sell it for an incredible amount of money and just enjoy life. And the boys say, okay, yeah, totally. We'll look into that. Meanwhile, they're going to kill the deal. And as this is going on, there are rumors of the Viking kill list circulating amongst everyone on the Waystar side. Third prompt. Who would you kill? Who would you keep? Rosie Co. is acquiring not just Waystar, but also Gojo. You're acquiring both companies in a tremendous 50-50 cash stock deal directly out of Rosie Co.'s pockets.
That's a lot of money. I should have already disappeared. I'm sorry.
Who are you retaining and who are you firing?
I'm absolutely retaining. I'm sorry. I don't care if she doesn't have the I'm putting this inverted commas experience here. Shiv is staying. I think she is the only one with any sense. I like what Shiv does here, as we will get into. I'm keeping Carolina. I'm keeping Jerry.
Carolina, I like that too.
I'm keeping those three. If I'm really doing it, I'm making one of those kind of deals where, like, I'm paying them so much money, I'm not having any. Mattson, Roman, Kendall, all gone. Like, go sit somewhere else with your money. Do not be here with your sociopathic, terrible business plans and awful, scandalous. I'm bringing in somebody completely new to run it. You're all out, but you get a lot of money because that's the way this stuff goes.
I like those picks. Here's who I would keep if I was acquiring Gojo and Waystar and really everybody in succession. If I'm buying the entire succession IP for a tremendous amount of money, 50-50 cash stock deal, I would retain Willa. And listen, Sand.
Okay, you're winning me over.
Sand was a flop, okay? The Sand wasn't right, among many other things, and the acting and the writing were terrible. But in the creative process, there's no such thing as failure. You got to keep going.
I like that.
This is her
that.
First foray into writing for the stage in a big way. You know, the biggest on Broadway, the biggest way. And it was a good first try. And I think that, listen, as they say in the business, buy the dip. That was the dip. That stock is the Willa stock is as low as it can get. I think it can only go up. I am buying Willa because I think those second and third and fourth projects are going to be better than Sand. I'm keeping Jerry because I think she's the only one that's good at her job.
Yes, I agree.
I'm going to keep Frank because I just like that guy.
Me too. He's a good guy to have in your corner.
That's right. And I'm going to keep Colin because somebody might try to throw piss on me. Because I'm so rich after acquiring the Succession IP. And, you know, one of these pinko socialists might try to throw urine on me as I walk into the building.
Okay, I just want to say, I think out of all your picks, if you are listening and you want to know who to buy on, I say buy on Willa. Because you know what?
Buy on Willa.
Something that we learned today that has been kept fairly out of the press and the narrative of this show and to the sidelines is the Royko Waystar entertainment business. We are going to need somebody to oversee the storytelling. The movie we have going on, as we will get into, is not doing well. We need Willa's vision. We need her to come in and tell us what to do.
The budget is ballooning. It's ballooning, Jason. CG is not looking good. The robot spends too much time
snoozing,
not being active in the cave. We need to pump this up. We need a franchise, folks. We need a hit. We need a tentpole, and we need like the sequel, and we need the trilogy, and then we need the spinoffs. And I think Willa is the person to do it.
I
think
agree.
She can do it. Listen, it's much easier, I think, to write for the summer movie blockbuster market than it is for Broadway with those snooty people. And I think you're right. You're absolutely right about that. Ken and Roman counter. They say, we take ATN back out. What's the price for the deal? Mattson says, listen, why do you even want it? It fucking sucks. It's propaganda for angry elderly diabetics, which is all true. But he just wants it. And he doesn't even want to say why he wants it because he's just buying it.
He's like, I'm just going to make it like Bloomberg. It's going to be simple. It's going to be cheap. And it's going to be great. And you guys can
That's
do
right.
nothing about it.
And then he shits on the boys and Shiv and says basically like, listen, your dad was one thing, but you guys are just a tribute band.
That's such a good insult. That's up there with legendary Succession insults.
The boys and Shiv say, okay, we'll take it to the board. But of course, the boys don't want to take it to the board. And that night, without Shiv, they decide to take the deal.
Sell, Kendall and Roman, chaotic motherfuckers.
They say to their credit, they do talk about bringing Shiv in. And then Ken says, but do you think Pinky can dance? Do you think that she could do the song and dance required to tank the deal? And of course, they don't think she can do it, so they cut her out. Fucking guys, these fucking guys. Meanwhile, while that's going on, Shiv's not just staying put. She's not just like staying in the box that people want to put her in. She goes and meets one-on-one with Mattson, who is blowing coke. Now, Shiv, an expectant mother, no one knows this, is offered coke. And if you'll notice, she just puts it in her hand. She pretends that she's going to snort it, but she just puts it in her hand. And I think that's responsible. And that's the kind of thing you want to see.
I'm telling you. This episode, I've always been a Shiv fan, okay?
Me
look,
too.
She's got problems. They all have
she's
problems.
Terrible.
These Roys are
she's
terrible
a horrible
people.
Human being.
Horrible
yeah.
human being, incredibly toxic romantic partner. But I am now rooting for Shiv, and I actually have, I understand that people are taking her arc this season in two different ways. Some people see it as she's being pushed to the side or being put in a kind of femme fatale trope that doesn't suit her. I personally love to see Shiv taking on these idiotic men and using her kind of feminine wiles. She is doing the tiniest amount of effort, and they are absolutely falling for it, and she is gaining control over them. And I loved this sequence with Mattson because he gives her way too much, and she now knows that she has this incredible leverage going forward that she keeps to herself, correctly so.
I love this take. Shiv, listen, has Shiv made some mistakes? Did she ask for an open marriage on her wedding night with Tom? Did she cheat on her husband with her old flame, Nate, the campaign manager of Succession Bernie, Gil Evis? Did she convince a sexual assault survivor to take the money and not press her case against Waystar? Has she numerous times sold out her so-called ideals because, you know, she is involved in this family that is openly courting a neo-fascist candidate? Yes, but she will not do cocaine in the first trimester. And I think that, among other things, is something that we need to laud about
Let's laud it.
Shiv Roy. Thank you. And so Shiv, listen, Shiv is out here. She's digging in the hedges, gaining intel. Matson, his vocal cords loosened by the Colombian white marching powder, starts talking about Ebba, Gojo head of comms, saying that, you know, there was a weird thing with Ebba where I was kind of in a relationship with her and then we broke it off and it was obviously not a good breaking it off. And then I started sending her vast quantities of my blood.
Because it was kind of a joke, but it wasn't a joke.
It was kind of a joke, and then it wasn't a joke, and then it was serious, and now it's not a joke. And this is obviously highly damaging information. And at the end of which, Shiv kind of soft offers to consult with Matson about the goings-on at Waystar so that he can kind of get the lay of the land. And he says he likes her because she's cool and can take a joke. Which is a lot of red flags from a guy who's been sending
blood
is
a joke.
A former employee blood.
Yes. I will also say, this is another reason I was really loving Shiv here. She uses this as a moment to basically secure Carolina's future. Because he's like, how's your head of comms? He's like, I've been sending mine blood. She's a nightmare. And Shiv's like, well, mine's great. She's so good at her job. She knows exactly what she's doing. And in that moment, Carolina's name
women
is...
Women supporting women.
Solidarity. Her name
yes,
is Tate. Not supporting the victim of his stalking campaign. Of course,
don't worry
she's
about
getting
that.
Fired. But
she's supporting the stronger woman.
Her stronger friend. She's supporting
right.
the one she knows personally. And I love that because it is this great duality where Shiv is just supporting and enabling this horrific abuser. But she's like, my friend, she's actually really
That's
good
right.
at her job.
Here on Market Moves, as allies, we support powerful women supporting powerful women over weaker women.
Look, we support women's rights and women's wrongs. It's fun to see them That's do right. things wrong. We like to see it.
Ken puts his plan into motion. He uses Greg for this.
Fucking
he's
Greg.
Suddenly become moderately useful. And he basically says, hey, Greg, I need you to talk to this reporter who's going to call you and basically say that things are not looking good. The Swedes are fucking weirdos and the culture is not a fit and yada, yada, yada. Jess, meanwhile, is tasked with setting up a distraction for the Gojo Vikings, and that is to set up a screening of the full rough cut of the latest of Waystar Studios' summer blockbuster offerings, a sci-fi tale about a robot in a cave that currently runs at something like 3 hours, and just make the Gojo people watch it.
And it is like, this is one of those legendarily bad movies. You can just tell from the responses. Ebba, she breezes out. She's like, I'm going to come back. It's intriguing.
She says, there's so much to think about.
So much to think about. And this is a movie that is like, imagine, I will mention one of my favorite Hollywood flops. Look it up. There's incredible reporting around it. There was a movie named Monster Trucks. It was based on the idea by a producer's 3-year-old kid about a monster who lived inside of a monster truck. The movie bled millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. There are legends that the first time they test screened it, the monster they created was so horrific that kids ran out of the cinema screaming.
Okay, good. That's what we want, like Ebba.
This is Waystar's version of that. This is, they're talking about millions. This is, I would say, 350 million down the pan. The budget is exploding. No one's going to go and see it. It's boring. And this is what you show to the people who are about to buy your company? They're trying to tank
Smart.
It.
Smart.
Tanking
Smart
it.
Smart play. Well, Shiv is like, what's going on here? This is, are you guys up to something? My brothers, are you up to something? And they're like, no. But also, Shiv, sensing that there are things going on, understanding that information is not being shared with her, does not share the information about Ebba and the blood. Ha ha. Meanwhile, she goes to meet Tom and meets up with him like outside the movie screening tent. And she says, Tom, your shoes are much too bright for people who are coming down off of Molly. And she starts kicking dirt on his shoes.
Incredible.
And then Tom flicks her earlobe and says, you have thick lobes like barnacle meat. And poof, their passion is rekindled in that moment. Rosie, prompt number 4, you need to walk out of a screening. What is the excuse that you use? You are Ebba.
oh, I must leave. My FedEx guy, my FedEx guy just showed up with the new delivery of blood. I can't let it go cold. It has to go into the freezer.
Very important. I've just received very important blood and I must go. I like that. Okay. For me, let's see. I'm walking out of the screening. David Zaslav is there. It says, what do you think of it? Are you leaving? And I say, yes, I am leaving. But it's because, and I'm going to take a page from Ebba's book here, but I'm going to say, because it's just so emotionally raw.
Oh, yeah.
That I really need to process this. I need to process it. I need to go outside and maybe call my therapist. And so much is coming up right now, and it's a lot. I shouldn't share that with you, but I'm going to tell you that I need to talk to my therapist right now. I have her on emergency speed dial whenever I need her. And something about the way the robot sits in the cave is just bringing up a lot of things for me now. And I need to think about that. I need to call her, and then I'll be back, sometime after the movie is over to sit in the empty theater. I'm going to come back when the movie is over and sit in my seat because that's how powerful this movie is. Roman and Ken meet with Mattson, and at the end of the day, what happens is Roman finally snaps because of all the little subtle insults and jibes and little different pokings and proddings and little things that Lucas is doing. You know, he's just playing the high hand with them, and he's clearly doing this and kind of – delighting in the fact that he's got them, you know, days after their father's death, and he loves this little power play he's running. And finally, Roman snaps and says, like, well, fuck you, we're not selling you the company, and that's it. And by the way, we think you killed Dad. We think it's your fault. You bled him dry because you were just, like, running him ragged back and forth to Norway or wherever, Scandinavia, somewhere to think about the deal, do this, do that, and you killed him, and we're not selling you. Go fuck off. Later on the plane back to the States, it is a news break comes across everybody's phone, and Frank says, or either Frank or Carl says, hey, look at this. Mattson, 192. 192, and Mattson effectively has cornered the boys by making it public, not letting them hide it from the board, has gotten his revenge by saying, haha, I'm going to buy your dad's favorite toy for $192, and the board is going to make you do it. Lucas Mattson for the win. Your final thoughts on this episode.
Look, I'm not trying to be a Mattson apologist. I understand that I have condoned some pretty terrible behavior here, but this is the nature of talking about billionaires. Yeah. I just want to say, Mattson isn't wrong. Logan Roy was a prick, and he was also a horrible to his kids. He was abusive. He was an awful man. Is it sensitive to say that just after he died? No. But is it untrue? Also, no. I thought that Lucas came out as the winner here. Shiv has moved up in the rankings. To me, if she wants to be a betrayer, if she wants to go against her brothers who have already cut her out, she could end up in a very horrific but powerful position here as a Mattson ally and potential, I don't know, a Mattson Shiv wedding would be so horrific. I don't even know if I could deal with it. But I feel like Shiv has become the power player at the end of episode 5. Now, that will all change with episode 6. But right here, I think Shiv and Mattson come out on top after the trip to Norway.
Up next, episode 6.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Episode 6, Living Plus. So the operation Tank the Deal obviously got more complicated when Lucas Mattson whipped out his 192 valuation yardstick, but that doesn't mean the boys are just going to quit trying to tank it. The latest plan, and get this is the latest scheme, and I think it's crazy, but it just might work. Boost the value of Waystar past 192, because the thought is that Lucas Mattson doesn't have any, you could squeeze that orange, but once 192 comes out, that's it. The orange is gone dry. There's nothing past 192. So if they can boost the valuation of the company past 192, that's it. The deal is off and they will keep it. How will they do this? Living Plus. What is Living Plus, you ask? Imagine a cruise ship, but on dry land with like a live forever medical stuff involved in it.
How?
Vampire blood, baby DNA, something. You will be in a cruise ship, but you'll be on dry land with security guards watching your every move.
Goofy
24 hours
will
a day
be giving you a blood infusion, IP characters.
That's right. There'll be IP characters running up and down. And meanwhile, you'll be given the latest in life-prolonging drugs. Okay? Ken is hoping that Living Plus, it will be like tech meets real estate, and it'll be the stock Viagra that'll get it up past 192. Mattson's flirtation / counterintelligence scam with Shiv continues.
They
meet
in their
private jets. They meet in their Mattson comes out barefoot onto Shiv's private jet.
Also, I just want to say this was a huge power play by Shiv here. Again, bye Shiv at this point, because he turns up. They meet where their planes are being refueled so no one can see them. And he says, oh, I landed. Come and see me. And she's like, nah, my plane's being refueled. I don't need to leave it. And he has to go to Shiv's plane. She is playing him like a fiddle. He needs her, but I'm enjoying how much she's making him work for it.
Yeah, that's why I always have a fresh plane waiting.
Always.
I don't want to wait for the refuel. Mm-mm. I have the fresh private jet waiting at the tarmac. And then I have this crane that kind of like puts the plane that I'm in on the side, and I fall out into the door of the other plane onto a couch, and then the plane takes off.
I was going to say,
so I don't have to wait.
You cannot tell me that you would spend your time walking down the stairs of the plane to
no,
a different
I don't
plane.
Use my legs.
Good.
I stopped using my legs years ago.
Yeah, when you got the 800
much,
bill.
Much less wealthy. That's right. So Mattson hates Living Plus, as he should, and also
it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's not only a terrible idea, it's like if you were buying a car, a used car, and then the current owner of the car who's about to sell you the car is like, hey, also I'm gonna put the car into Pimp My Ride mode and put five PlayStation consoles in the car before I sell it to you.
And you
Why
have to pay for them.
That?
You have it's, to pay for them.
That's my car. I haven't bought it yet, but don't do that. So he doesn't get it. So Mattson makes his pitch. He's like, hey, kill this product launch because it's stupid. And also I need someone inside who's going to tell me all the stuff that's going on. And that person should be you. And Shiv plays coy, but she's thinking about it. She's thinking about it. A fifth prompt. Is Mattson serious or is he going to betray Shiv as well? Does he really want to hire her on as his like head of whatever?
I think that Mattson has a short and intense attention span like many sociopaths.
I think he does too. It's all the microdosing.
Yes. I think Shiv is very curious to him. And I think he is interested in the way that she doesn't really bow to him or have any real interest in the deal. He obviously also thinks he can get something from her. But I think for now, he is committed to this bit, whether it would outlast him getting what he wanted or them sleeping together or Shiv joining or the merger. I don't know. But I do believe in these moments, he sees her as an ally.
That's right. I think that's right. Everyone on the Waystar side is in L.A. for Investor Day. And
Disney Plus Day.
Launch. Ken and Roman brief the execs, including the old guard, on the latest about the deal. Ken then kind of soft pitches Do we really want to do the deal? Do we really want to, like, isn't Mattson's kind of weird? And then Roman chimes in. He's like, yeah, he's like confidentially, you know, like, obviously not for wider, wider spread. This is just for this room. Cone of silence. Is Mattson crazy? Is he mentally ill? He kind of went like berserk on us when I blew up at him. And, you know, it's obviously like we're not medical professionals and it's not for us to say, but maybe he's unwell. I don't know. And then Jerry says, but okay, but he's a genius. Everybody thinks he's a genius, and nobody minds when geniuses act weird. Look at Elon Musk or any other person that people think are geniuses. They all do weird shit, and everybody's like, that's great, because they're fucking geniuses. And then Carl, who's still sizing up, which Greek island he's going to buy, like he's trying on a pair of suede shoes.
Basically flicking through the brochure.
Yes, it's like, yeah, don't worry. He's a weirdo. Who cares? Like, I'm fucking ready to cash out big time. Sixth prompt. Rosie, you need to kill a deal. Everybody wants this deal. I want the deal. Vasilis wants the deal. Chris wants the deal. Saul wants the deal. Delon wants the deal. Everybody wants the fucking deal. You are involved in the team that is forging the deal. And you want to kill it. How do you kill it?
Oh, man, I'd be so bad at this. Okay, let me put my market moves hat. I would kill the deal by saying, look, if we do this deal, then the only way I'm going to do it is I'm going to take all the money. And I will be the one who does the deal. And no one else will get any deal money. So the deal will be over. So we may as well just not do the deal. And then you guys don't lose this money that you don't have.
I like it. That's good. I think that could work.
Had to dig really deep.
I think it could
deep.
Work with a little framing. Let me try it. So, I'm sitting there in X-Ray Vision headquarters over in Malibu, right on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
And we're sitting there in the boardroom and we're looking out at the ocean. And Vasilis is flipping through, his iPad.
Greek Island.
Pages of Greek Islands where he's going to start his cult. And Ryan is thinking about buying the Knicks. And Chris and Saul are going to open a movie studio. And I need to tank this deal that's going to make us all even more monstrously rich than we are. And I'm going to look, I look at everybody in the eye and I say, and I sigh very heavily. And I stand up and I put both hands on the table and I look down and I look up and I say, and I make eye contact with everyone in the room and I say, money isn't everything.
Love it.
Literally, it is. It isn't. It's not physically, if you look at it from a physics perspective, science, money is not actual everything, all of the matter in the universe. So think about that, guys. And do we really want to do this? Maybe not.
It would
I
work.
Think it could work. I think it
definitely,
could work.
Definitely.
I mean, the shocked silence tells me it's working. Shiv, meanwhile, smells something rotten in Gothenburg, which I think is a Swedish city. She can sense from this conversation and the way that Ken and Roman are speaking that they maybe don't want the deal. And the tell, and it's really smart, the tell for her is that they've all of a sudden are bringing up that Mattson is perhaps mentally ill, and they didn't gossip about it with her, mean girl style, which is something that they would have naturally done. So she presses, and they admit that, yes, they're trying to fuck the deal. They're trying to fuck the deal.
They cannot lie to Shiv. Her power is immense.
They're sorry.
They're so sorry, and they can't believe they didn't tell. I just want to say as well, Shiv, again, an incredibly powerful situation, because Mattson had mentioned her on the plane, like, oh, you know, your brother's, like, lost it and, like, told me, like, go fuck myself. And she was like, sounds fake to me. And now she knows it's true because they're trying to, like, reflect and pretend that that's what Mattson did to them. And, yeah, and I mean, this was such a great moment for Shiv and such a pathetic moment for Kendall and Roman because they just cannot even commit to the bit. Like, if you're going to cut her out, cut her out. You did not need to tell her this plan. It was a terrible idea. But they do it. And Roman, he wants the hug. He wants to feel better.
I will say this. It betrayed a troubling amount of humanity from the brothers that they couldn't flat out lie to their sister, who they apparently love's face. So that part of it, you know,
I like that. You're seeing the silver lining.
Now, Shiv, the meeting lets out, and Shiv has scheduled a conference room in which to weep if she needs to. And now she needs to because this is actually a brutal betrayal from her brothers that she takes in stride. She, in the room, she's like, oh, yeah, no big deal. Okay, you want to kill it, and you didn't tell me anything about it, and you've been talking about killing it apparently for days and plotting and scheming to kill it. And I'm supposed to get read into every decision, but you've kept this from me. And she is actually very, very emotional about it. Mm-hmm. She begins to cry. But then Tom walks in because he's just happened to blunder into that office place, and he comforts her and they kiss. A reunion is bubbling, shockingly. Roman then has some business over at Waystar Studios, and he goes to meet the head of the film division, Joy Palmer, big time muckety-muck film, and we would guess TV also.
Yeah.
Waystar, of course, as we've talked about, needs a valuation higher than 192. So Roman, thinking, okay, well, hopefully maybe film can do that for us. Roman's idea is, if I just like love bomb Joy Palmer with all the money that she's ever wanted to make these Robot in a Cave features, maybe they can make a franchisable hit that will pump up the valuation of the company, and the Robot in a Cave cinematic universe will be launched, and it'll be big, and we could sell toys, and we could sell blankets, and we can have little kids going to our movies, and we launch a channel and all of that. Unfortunately, Joy then broaches the touchy topic of ATN being hand-in-hand with fascist presidential candidate Mencken, and how the Hollywood creative community is a little bit uneasy.
She's not wrong. It's a good point. Mencken. It's a very good point.
They feel a little bit weird about it, and there is still, troublingly for Roman, still enough competition in the space that they could theoretically decide not to work with Waystar. They could take their Robot in a Cave feature somewhere else. And then what would we do? And Roman, irritated at the sensation of any kind of like brief kind of like gesture at criticism, fires Joy or something.
Yes. It's very, he puts it out there as kind of a jokey threat. And then when she doesn't immediately start kissing his ass, he kind of decides he's going to commit to it. But it's also unclear whether it would legally be something he could do in that way, because there are like 10 other people he would have to go through. But whew, it was really bad. And Roman is just not cut out for this. I love Roman. I have a lot of love for him. Terrible, awful person. But in the context of the show, has like a little bit more humanity than other people. But him and Kendall are both going for the new title of Logan Roy, and it is not good.
I think Shiv is doing it as well. So that brings us to our seventh prompt. Who is the most Logan of the children? Ken, Roman, Shiv, or Connor?
Connor.
Who is the most currently Logan-esque of the Logan spawn?
It's Shiv. Because Shiv is the one who is currently working with their competitor to betray them, something that Logan has actively done in the past. She is not giving them the information that they could use against him, like the propensity for sharing and sending blood to ex-girlfriends. And also, when, like you very kindly and generously pointed out, Roman and Kendall were opening up to Shiv and admitting a wrongdoing, she did not do the same. She kept her options open. She is texting Lucas. She is calling Lucas. She is keeping him up to date. And she is doing it without a hair of anxiety or stress. Like, this is just like every day for her. So I do think while Kendall and Roman both think that they are playing at being the best Logan, I think it is coming to Shiv most naturally.
I agree. I think at this particular juncture in the story, it is Shiv because she is... she is moving quietly, but to build her power, as you so aptly noted. Meanwhile, Roman, I mean, this firing, he thinks it's something his dad would have done, but his dad would have fired someone from a position of strength, not a position of weakness, which is clearly what Roman just fired this person from a position of weakness. Meanwhile, Ken is getting up for the Living Plus presentation, and he's working with the stage crew to get the stagecraft right. All he needs before the presentation, which is tomorrow, is like a legitimate, like a little house.
A full house that will represent Living Plus's living arrangements. You know, easy.
Yeah, maybe we can think about like maybe Spanish style if you want to do that, or maybe those like really cute kind of like European gables. And then it'd be great if there was like a blue sky with like clouds moving across it. And it doesn't have to be like full like Tony Stark, like, you know, like Iron Man 3, like holographic presentation, but it could be, but if it can be that.
He's seen it in Berlin. You can do it.
That's right. And and he lays down a new rule for Hollywood folks working for him. He says, you can't say no.
Yeah. He says, this is a fun new rule. Nobody can say no. Kind of implying that he is in on that and that he can't say no. But I will. Okay. So I need to ask you a question. This is more of a serious question.
Sure.
How's Kendall doing? Because he seems like he may have either relapsed or he's in a mania or both. Because he comes to this 24 hours before the presentation and starts making like Broadway play style demands that would take 3 months. And he is excited about it and feels, honestly, truly feels like everyone else is excited as him when he's actually putting everyone out. He doesn't seem like he's doing great.
And anyone else who watches the Succession television program on Max,
no,
understands that there would be no amount of surprise should Ken suddenly bobble a baggie of some white powder onto the, like, no, it would not surprise anyone. I would not be surprised. In fact, it would surprise me if he wasn't dabbling right.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised if he wasn't in you know, Scrooge McDucking into various vats of white drugs. Shiv and Tom's ongoing reunion continues apace at the Investor Day Gala with a little game of Bitey, which apparently Shiv has a game that she used to play, which she has never shared with her husband, soon to be ex-husband. And the game goes, you bite each other's arms until one of you can't take the pain anymore, and that's it. Later, they go to Shiv's hotel room, and Tom admits that he betrayed her in season 3, basically for the money. He, Shiv, I love money. You know that I love money. You never let me wet my beak in the money, never let me in. And it was always going to be me between you and your dad. And I picked your dad because he's got a lot of money.
And I could buy some nice watches.
And I thought that was the most expedient way to the money. And let's be honest about it. You wouldn't give a shit about me if I didn't have nice watches, nice suits, could take you to 5-star Michelin star restaurants. You don't want to go to fucking Olive Garden. You don't want to do that.
You don't
right?
want endless breadsticks.
Yeah, you don't care about that. And then they have sex. X-ray vision will be back. Hold on to your cape as we journey through the internet to get to the X-ray vision YouTube channel. You can watch me, Jason Concepcion.
And me, Rosie Knight, every week for expert analysis and deep dives into your favorite franchises.
Test your fandom knowledge with discussions of the latest nerd news, castings, and show lore.
Subscribe to the X-ray vision YouTube now. Now, and listen to new episodes from us every Wednesday and Friday.
Do it now!
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Thank you.
Jerry reads Roman the Riot Act for Fire and Joy without telling her, without telling anyone, just at the spur of the moment. And apparently Joy has retained counsel, and good for her.
She needs it. And she's going to get a big payout. And I can't wait.
A huge payout. And honestly, like, is it not for the best, yes, Joy Palmer, to be, like, free of this, like, terrible institution? Which, by the way, here's a little inside tip for all the listeners to Market Moves. Buy Waystar. Buy. Roman says, I didn't fire her. I said that she was fired to her. That's all.
classic Roman. Never met a consequence he can deny or avoid.
What? You know, Roman, who we all remember jacking off against a window in season one. Anyway, now, you know, Roman is feeling once again that sensation of criticism coming from a person. And he says essentially to Jerry, hey, remember that thing where you were fired, where I fired you because Dad said to fire you and I did it. I delivered that message. Well, what if you're just fired all over again because something about cruises, you did it poorly and you're fired. And then she says, you know, be serious for a second. You are interim co-CEO. You're just minding the store here. You're subletting.
And Jerry was not on the kill list.
That's right. I'm going to be working at Gojo and be working very happily for multi-billionaire Lucas Matheson, and understand that tech is the real shit. They're not like this old money, out of fashion media money kind of old people stuff. They're where the juice is. They're where the money is. They're where the market is moving. And you just should realize that and go with the money. And Roman's like, well, maybe you're fired, maybe you're not, I don't know. And he walks out. He leaves it in a very vague place.
He
basically threatens to fire Jerry, but we don't know if she's fired.
And when he goes to tell Ken, he kind of wants Ken to pull it back, because obviously Roman really loves Jerry. He's kind of like, yeah, you might have to smooth that over. Maybe that was too much. And Ken's like, no, that was baller.
That's fucking great, baller. Man.
You're just making moves. You're doing it. And maybe these young Turks have the rights and the way to make something out of this. No, you don't, Kendall.
That's why I say bye. Bye, 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 Waystar. And Ken says, you know, fuck it. Drop Jerry's head in the end zone. I love it. Just do the icky shuffle over her corpse. And that brings us to our eighth prompt. Joy or Jerry, who's fired? And who was merely told to them that they were fired?
I think Joy is probably going to keep that representation and get a massive payout. Because why fight to work for Roman? Even if she's not really fired, why are you going to do that? Take your $36 million.
Because she passionately believes in that robot in the cave.
The robot needs to be sleeping in the cave,
and
guys.
It's a personal story. It's something that speaks to her from her childhood. Mm. And she really passionately believes in the robot in a cave cinematic universe.
Well, maybe then she'll fight for her passions. But I believe she'll probably take the golden parachute and be gone. Jerry, I do believe that Kendall really likes this firing. But
I think so too.
Do either of those children, who, by the way, you made a great note in our preparation. That is Shiv's godmother, we learn.
Ken mentions that.
Big succession canon here. I think that is a great and important note, because Kendall and Roman might want to fire Jerry, but Jerry really has this, I think she'll just keep showing up to work and getting paid. Like, neither of them knows how to do it. HR's not going to fire Jerry.
How do you do it?
They don't really know. They can say you're fired, and she's still chilling, like, around.
It's like walking into the cockpit of the space shuttle and being like, well, what button fires Jerry?
Exactly. Like, or going in and being like, the pilot's fired, and everyone on the plane's we need to land the space shuttle. Yeah. And you're like, okay, he's fired after that. And everyone's like, yeah, sure, he's fired. Like, I don't believe we've seen the last of Jerry. And especially since she is still chilling with the old guard during what will surely become another legendary Kendall performance.
Well, the conversation that follows this with Carl, I think, will inform the status of Jerry. Ken, as we saw with Logan's birthday rap, is a natural stage performer. He just gets off on it. He is at home there. And not even the fact that the clouds over the cabin that he had built is just like mist.
Looks like it's a very gas chamber. It's very bad.
It looks terrible. Even that doesn't really dampen his excitement to get up on the stage for the first time since L to the OG. He is somewhat shaken, however, when Roman, fresh off this conversation with Jerry, and in which Jerry essentially says, hey, you have to let this deal go through. What the fuck are you talking about?
And also, I will say, secretly being manipulated by Shiv and Mattson.
That's
because
right.
Because Mattson is saying, please stop this, please stop this. So Shiv's kind of trying to spook him by making him think it's going to go wrong and pointing out that Kendall is clearly overhyped about this and that the stage That's looks right. terrible. So basically, Roman has everyone in his ear saying, stop this.
That's right. So Roman says to Ken, you know, is this a good idea? Do we want to do this? The number, like, you're going to go up there with a presentation that is, let's face it, it's mostly science fiction. The numbers don't quite add up.
You have been faking the numbers. You
may
or may not have AI faked our dad into pretending the numbers were higher.
You did do that. And is that, like, you know, forget the legal implications of lying directly to our shareholders. Maybe we shouldn't do it. And Ken is a little bit shaken by this. And then as he leaves that room, Carl, the CFO of Waystar Royco, steps to him and is really tough with him. He says, mm-hmm. listen, I've put up with a lot of shit over the years from your dad, but I have been a major executive at lots and lots of big, big time companies. And I've been around the fucking block, buddy. And if you try and fuck with this deal, I will chop your fucking nuts off, mm-hmm. okay? He says, you have my dick in your hand, but I've got yours in mine, and fuck with the deal, and I'll blow up your spot, and that's it. And Carl walks away, and it's a wonderful power play by Carl. And you have to feel like, now there's a moment here where Ken basically says, well, I'm the CEO and you're the CFO. What if I fire mm-hmm. you? Basically implying, like, what if I fire you? And Carl says, and this is where this informs the Jerry conversation. He basically says, what, are you going to fucking fire the CFO a few days after you take mm-hmm. control of the company? Like 2 days after your dad died, in the midst of an interim situation in which you are selling the company to somebody else? How's that going to fucking play? Yeah. You're going to do that? Yeah, good luck. And I feel like the same thing would happen.
Exactly.
With you. You're not going to fire general counsel.
You're not going to do
now.
That. And the funniest thing about this as well is I actually kind of love to see the kids losing a little bit of their steam and a little bit of control. It starts to seem like the rope is a little bit greased and they're sliding down it. Because the real truth is, there is a major subplot in this episode where Kendall is forcing the accountants to fake numbers. Like, this is not just a potential, you know, risk. This could blow up in everyone's face, including Carl. And Carl wants that fucking island, bro.
He wants that island, man. Get the hummus going. Get the spanakopita going.
Exactly.
You know, the birthplace of democracy. The whole thing, you know, the Spartans, the Peloponnesian War, all the history, all that shit. Fucking let's get it going. And that's what he's going to be doing, is studying the rich history of the development of European democracy and the traditions of democracy that have informed our beautiful American system. And he's going to be doing that, studying that with his brother-in-law there on the island that he is going to purchase. All academic pursuits merely for the betterment of the mind.
Exactly.
That is what Carl
and
is
ultimately
into.
Mankind. Because if his mind gets better, everyone
right.
will, you know, every ship will be lifted.
The things that will happen on the Greek island to be named later, owned by Carl and his brother-in-law, will put this down and buy stock in this. We will better the human race.
Better the human race.
Every problem that we face, war, injustice, inequality,
violence,
paper straws, Oof. All of that will be solved on some Greek island that we don't know about right now. Ken's presentation is what it made me cringe so hard I blew out a vertebrae in my neck.
Yeah. It was absolutely horrific to watch. My mom had to leave. My mom is visiting and she had to leave because the episode made her so uncomfortable. Not fully leave forever, just go for a walk.
he opens by saying big shoes, you know, saying that, you know, he's filling his father's shoes. He says, he repeats the phrase big shoes.
At least like 9 times. And everyone is watching him like, this man is having a nervous breakdown. Like, this is worse than the rap.
Then he says, who's big shoes? And Logan appears on the screen. Computer background, mm-hmm. but like assets taken from an earlier shoot, hyping up Living Plus, obviously taken before the absolutely tragic demise
tragic.
Of Logan Roy, high in an airplane with his mistress and other executives. And aided this presentation is by, as we have noted, completely spurious fictional numbers. Bottom line, the numbers and Logan Roy's CGI edited form say that Living Plus will double. That's right. You heard right. You heard correctly. That's not earwax in your ears. You don't have to take the AirPods out of your ears. You heard right. Waystar Roy Co's value will double because of Living Plus.
And if you're,
and everybody loves it.
Everybody loves it. But I just need to say, if you're wondering what Living Plus is, Kendall essentially goes on stage, pitches this horrible kind of fabricated community where there will be security guards. You can see Goofy. Maybe a director will walk past who made a movie about a sleeping robot. And the big promise is that you essentially live forever. He promises people immortal life. We are getting into very weird territory here. Now, this is based on vaguely real...
There are real things like
medication.
This.
They call it life extension treatments. Yeah. You know, you get blood infusions, plasma transfusions, things for the extremely rich. But Kendall essentially comes out and promises people they can live on a cruise ship for their whole life.
On land.
On land with a security guard. They can meet Goofy. They can have blood transfusions and live forever. And it is one of the worst things you've ever seen. And of course, because Succession is horribly realistic, everybody fucking loves it.
Everybody
the
fucking loves it.
The stock is going up.
The stock is going crazy. People are fucking going crazy. Jim Cramer over Mad Money.
Oh, he's saying bye, 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 bye.
He's going bye, bye, bye. He just like his butt, his
butt
cheeks
off.
Blew up.
They blew up.
And flew across the studio. Such was the excitement at the announcement of Living Plus. You know, who doesn't like it is Lucas Mattson.
I was going to say.
Who tweets, I forget the actual phrase, but it is the German phrase that was over the concentration camps that welcomed the sad victims of the concentration camps and translated it means something like work
will
makes
set you
free.
Yeah.
Work will set you free. Basically, he is trying to say in a joking way that these are concentration camps for rich people who willingly go there.
And not a great
probably,
thing to do.
I don't think that's a good thing
I would
thing
say never
do
any tweets about the Holocaust in general, like especially not a joke tweet where you put it next to a character, a fictional IP character. Very horrific business. I have to say, this was a big turnaround because Mattson, he thought he was doing something here. But
he thought he was doing
unfortunately
it.
For him, Kendall dealt with it in a...
He seizes on
it. He seizes the moment and kind of, he half makes a joke. He acts incredibly magnanimously. He manages to end with a standing ovation thanks to his, you know, Jurassic Park style Richard Attenborough, Brian Cox, you know, dad who's helping him there. And Mattson ends up making himself look like a Nazi, which, let's be real, he is meant to be a alt-right kind of Nazi tech nightmare.
He did quote the Nazis, to be fair.
To be fair. So, like...
He did just quote...
He did. And it makes Mattson look bad, and it makes Kendall's stock value rise.
That's right. He looks
so
better.
High. And everybody loves Kendall. He might get to that $192 per share with this performance. Even Carl, who was ready to literally castrate him.
Carl
is like, this man's special. I see it.
He says, I know special when I see it. because it's some of the Greek islands that I'm looking at are very special. Well, and I get the same feeling when I look at Ken. I get that same feeling of specialness.
I have to be honest. In that moment, I felt like, for the first time this season, I felt like Carl's eyes moved away from the Greek islands. And I felt like he might, in that moment, he was seeing, he was getting sucked back into the Roy black hole. And I think he sort of was considering, like, what would it be like if he was like this all the time and we really could mold him into a new Logan? Like, how much more money could I earn? How much more capital could I gain? How much further could I rise? Obviously, betting on Kendall, who is a literal murderer and has had many emotional problems throughout this series, not a good bet.
Manslaughterer.
Oh, sorry. Manslaughterer.
I don't know what how the laws work in the UK, England. But I don't know if it's the same. But I would imagine it would be like a manslaughterer.
I would say you murder, the connotation does come with an expectation of intent. But I would say if you kill a service worker with your car.
I do think he murdered him.
I think you could say casually that he murdered him. But you're right. Listen. On Market Moves, this is about education and correct information. So if Ken did ever get held accountable, which will never happen, he would be a manslaughterer.
I just want to be accurate. I'm not. That's very important. I don't have any kind of legal acumen. I am not Clarence
Thomas. I don't want to get sued.
I am much richer than him.
By Waystar Records.
Right. I am much richer than Clarence Thomas.
Kendall, don't sue me.
And I want to be accurate. It was probably manslaughter.
Probably manslaughter. And he has had many emotional ups and downs. I don't think it's a good bet, but I did see Carl. I felt like he got sucked into the, I'm putting success in inverted commas because it was awful, but it did go well. Kendall's back on top and I hate to see it.
Ken is on top and he you can see the worry on his siblings' faces, on Roman's face, on Shiv's face. They're thinking, God, has Ken strapped himself to the rocket ship to the top of the mountain? Has he actually done it? And Ken is high off of this. He then re-edits his dad's video so that it and sends it to Roman so that their late father, again, passed away 48 hours ago or something, is saying to Roman, I have a big announcement to make. Roman Roy has a micro dick and he's never been right about anything.
Yeah.
And Roman being an absolute, like, pain pig watches the video again and again and again and again.
And then listens to it. Also, actually important to note here, Greg is rising up the ladder of power very quickly because it was Greg who illegally edited the deep fake style video of Logan Roy to say double Waystar Royco's value, where before it said to raise the value or something. And I feel like when... It's unclear whether Roman knew that Kendall was going to do that. And I feel like when he was listening to that edit, it was kind of like playing in his mind what Kendall had done. Not just this cruel, like, masochistic thing that, honestly, like Kendall said when he watched the original cut of the video and his dad was insulting the kids, he said, that's a Valentine's Day card. These kids actually love to hear that. But I think Roman is feeling he's already starting to have to plan his play of how to get rid of Kendall or get back in the good books, because he's basically forgotten now. Kendall is the CEO. There's no co-CEO after Roman turned down being a part of that speech.
How does Ken celebrate the highest moment of his professional career? Well, he wants to do it in water. Water has been such an important medium for Ken. It is, of course, where he did murder a guy in water. It is where he tried to commit suicide in water in Italy. And now it is where he baptizes himself at the church of his own success, diving into the waves off the coast of beautiful Malibu.
Gorgeous.
Emerging to stare into the gray slate sky and think about what a fucking badass he is, which brings us to our final prompt of this double-sized, much like the stock valuation of Waystar going double. This episode has gone double. The final prompt: who is the biggest threat to Ken? Ken is at the mountaintop right now, and you know what that means. There's only one way to go, and that is down. Who, if anyone, will bring him down? Will it be Jerry, Carl, and Frank the Old Guard, and also Ray, that guy? Will it be Shiv in cahoots with either Tom or Mattson or both? Will it be Mattson alone? Will it be Roman alone? Who is going to be the person who knocks Ken off of his perch?
I'm on the Shiv train today, and I'm sticking with it because Shiv has so much control over Mattson that in this episode, Shiv is the one who tells Mattson, do a tweet to fuck over Kendall. He does it, that terrible tweet. And then Shiv calls him and says, you need to, don't, that was a bad tweet. And he deletes the tweet. So Shiv,
bad tweet.
Bad tweet.
Bad tweet.
Bad tweet.
In the words of Ken.
She has a lot of power right now over a very irrational and edgy but very powerful man. I think those two are a big threat. Even unintentionally, they could just really fuck things up. If they put their heads together and actually actively try and take Kendall down, he'd be in trouble. But there's also just shenanigans that could occur between them that could end up forcing Kendall into a bad place. So that's my bet at the end of this.
I like that pick too. And I think that these moments of vulnerability that they're giving us with Shiv, the reveal of the pregnancy, the tears, the kind of like deep emotional frustration and pain and hurt at the betrayals of her brothers that she's having to keep under this placid mask. I think that they're setting us up to feel the vengeance that she is going to put into play. Now, is it going to go as we think? This is Succession, and they're always subverting us.
Yes.
For instance, you know, I mean, just the fact that they give Ken a win here,
I know,
is a big subversion.
That's
right?
Unexpected.
We're so used to Ken losing, from killing a guy to trying to kill himself
to
all
rapping.
The other things that we're so used to him getting kicked in the ass that it was quite a shock and a surprise to see him win. And I feel as if even if Shiv does, quote unquote, win, it will be a chalice with a lot of poison.
Yes,
in it.
I agree.
And that brings us to this edition of Market Moves. Can't wait to talk to you next week about the upcoming episodes of the Succession program. We hope that you follow all of our financial advice and succeed beyond your wildest dreams, as the stocks will only go up.
Recession is just a word.
Success, finance, bonds, crypto,
stocks,
mutual funds,
coins,
it's all going up.
In today's Nerd Out, where you tell us what you love and why, or a theory that you're excited to share, David pitches us on Red Dead Redemption 2 and why it should be the next video game adapted for TV. I can't actually believe that hasn't happened yet.
It's a good idea. They must be thinking about it.
Hi, Jason and Rosie. My name is David, and I wanted to talk to you guys about the Red Dead Redemption universe, which I think should be the next TV adaptation of a video game. I've played Red Dead Redemption 2. I picked it up during the pandemic when I needed to pass the time with a new game, and I feel like it's the best single-player storyline I've ever played. It's a huge open-world game with hours upon hours of different main quests and side quests. And what really makes Red Dead Redemption 2 special is the storyline and the character development of not just the main character, Arthur, but the various different side characters you get to play along with. Especially, I think Sadie Adler's character is the best character development in the game. Essentially, what you get to do is you play as this member of the Vanderlyn gang, Arthur, and you're traveling through a world which is leaving the Wild West behind as America moves into the 20th century. And your character starts to question his loyalty to the gang, his loyalty to his leader, Dutch. And I don't want to spoil too much, but you know, you just get to really see these characters grow, change their mindset about the world around them. And I think that with the many different hours of gameplay and the character development, it really leads itself to a TV adaptation that could span multiple seasons And then you could move into the story of Red Dead Redemption 1, which follows a different character that you see grow in RDR 2. So it's obviously my hope and dream that, you know, a TV company picks this up and I get to share on the screen this game and story that I love with people who don't necessarily play video games all the time. So thanks for your consideration of this Nerd Out pitch, and a shout out to your sound guy, Vasilis, who was a grad school classmate of mine. Cheers.
Thanks, David. If you have theories or passions you want to share, hit us up at xray@crooked.com. Instructions are in the show notes, as always.
That's it for us. Rosie, any plugs?
Yes, it is Free Comic Book Day. This is a plug for you guys. Yeah. On May 6th, Free Comic Book Day will be hitting your local comic shops. You can get free comic books. Many different comics from all different publishers will be available for free, and you can go and grab them. I will be doing a signing. If you are in the LA area, you can come to Jeffrey's Comics, which is a really brilliant local comic shop that I love. Me and a bunch of my buds who've worked on Godzilla will be there, along with a load of other cool local artists. You'll be able to grab some free comics, get some stuff signed, buy some rad graphic novels, support a local comic shop, come and say hi to me. It should be very fun.
I love it. Well, folks, it is May. That means in a little over 2 weeks, so May 19th, close. On Amazon Prime /FreeVTV, you can watch the Primo Television program, executive produced by Michael Schur, Television's Michael Schur of The Good Place and The Office and Parks and Recreation and four-time New York Times bestseller Shea Serrano. It is a beautiful, wonderful single-camera tale in the Michael Schur style that is sure to leave you laughing and clutching at your heartstrings. And it's available to watch May 19th.
Add it to your watch list
on
now.
On Amazon Freeview. Add it to the watch list now. The next episode of X-Ray Vision Friday, May 5th, in which we will discuss the final installment of the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
What folks, a wild ride.
It's a wild ride.
If you want to see us as well as listen to us, you can subscribe on YouTube, where you can watch full episodes of the show. You can follow us on Twitter at XRVPod, and check out the Discord to meet and hang out with tons of amazing fans and listeners. Plus, Jason and me are in there.
That's right. Five-star ratings, five-star reviews. We gotta give them to us. We need them. Here's one from Johnny Blaz. Fantastic. Jason and Rosie are very well-researched and hilarious. Thank you.
Yeah.
Love this podcast. Their love of comics has introduced me and through me, my children, to the wonderful world of comics. Thank you so much for your commitment to excellence. Thank you, Johnny Blaz.
That's so kind. Thank you, Johnny.
X-Ray Vision is a Crooked Media production. The show is produced by Chris Lord and Saul Rubin. The show is executive produced by myself and Sandy Gerard. Our editing and sound design is by Vasilis Fotopoulos. Dylan Villanueva and Matt DeGroote provide video production support. Alex Relaford handles social media. Thank you, Brian Vasquez, for our theme music. See you next time. Bye.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.